Hi, my name is Andrea. I'm 26. I graduated from Cornell University with a bachelor's in sociology. I'm currently in graduate school in Philadelphia for biomedical sciences, and I will be applying to med school this cycle. I just want to say thank you so much for the Dr. Brian Smart podcast from January 26, 2011. It was a really, really good podcast. I had no idea that, not that I had no idea. I just wanted to hear from somebody that been through similar experiences, because when you're put in a certain environment, like for me, Cornell, you are expected to do many things like presenting and everything. And I had to change my attitude in order to do well. And that's why in grad school, I do pretty well now, and I'm proud of it. So thank you.
Everyone, and welcome to Stutter Talk. We are recording from the 34th annual National Stuttering Association Conference in Dallas, Texas. Stutter Talk can be found at stuttertalk.com and the NSA at westutter.org. I'm Chris Constantino. I'm a speech pathologist and a person who stutters from Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm here with Ruben, Ja, and Elizabeth. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hey, Chris, great to be here tonight. My name is Ruben Schaff. I'm an aeronautical engineer living in Los Angeles. Person who stutters, self-help leader, and this is going to be my 10th conference. Time really flies.
Hi there. I am Jabing. I am originally from China. Now I live in Michigan. I came to the States 3 years ago. So this is my third conference. Be happy to be here.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I'm also very happy to be here. This is my second conference. I'm from Athens, Georgia, a chapter leader there, and I teach kids with disabilities.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here to talk about the day we just had. We took a break from the bar to just recap what's been going on today. So why don't we talk about the favorite part of our day thus far?
Yeah. So I thought last night when we kicked off the openings was really great, and just the Dallas chapter here and everybody who's hosting the conference is just really excited to be here, and it was a really great opening night. And the keynote that Lee Reeves gave today, I thought was awesome. I feel like Lee has a story that I can really relate to about turning points in life and overcoming challenges with stuttering and career, and was just a rock star talk for the keynote today.
So I arrived yesterday, and I really like the opening. They have those cowboys coming in, so I really like that because I've never seen a cowboy in my life in person, so I like that part. And today the keynote speaker, Lee Reeves, his speech touched my heart. All the words he says, it's like, wow, a retired doctor, in America, he told what I want to say. But I grew up in China, a different culture, a different country, but we shared exactly same feelings. So I was very touched, and that's it.
I think for me today was the workshops. So last year was my first year, and this year I did presented a workshop with Nina G with young people, and we had them talk about like challenges they face in stuttering or being a sibling of somebody who stutters. And that was really, it was great because I could take talents I had outside of the community and bring them in. And then the second workshop I did was with Barry Yeoman, and I did the same workshop last year. It was like a movement where we told a story and then did a movement along with it. And the story I had last year compared to this year, I just felt like I made so much growth, and I was able to see that. It was a great experience.
Yeah, I presented a workshop this morning with Barry, and it was on masculinity and stuttering and how our traditional notions of masculinity can be rigid and limiting, and just how stuttering can sort of open up those boundaries. And we gave this workshop, and sort of one of our takeaway messages was that we can use stuttering to be intimate with others, that by stuttering we can sort of level jump in relationships, right? We can have a deeper relationship with somebody right off the bat because we're showing such vulnerability. And then me, Barry, and our friend Mark there, we went for a walk, and we ended up at this, it was an Asian art museum. And we were talking to one of the women who worked there as just as a tour guide and as for information. And she came over to tell us about a piece of art we were looking at. And when we started stuttering with her, she immediately just opened up about her struggles with depression and alcoholism, and it was incredible. We had just talked about all that stuff, right? We had just talked about how stuttering sort of has this ability to do that, and then we go outside, and the first person that we speak to, all of a sudden, we know them better than we could have ever known them before. It would have been entirely inappropriate for her to walk up to any person in the museum and say, "I'm a recovered alcoholic," right?
Yeah.
But because we were able to open that door through our stuttering, she was able to walk through that door and share with us. And it was just a really sort of powerful moment after that.
Thank you. all the conversations that I get to have here seem like they're instantly super deep and very intense, and it's just a great experience. And by the end of the day, I'm so full of joy, and I'm so wiped out from how intensely we've been communicating with each other all day long.
Yeah. Does anybody have a... Elizabeth already talked some about her, some of the favorite workshops she's been to. How about Ja and Ruben? Did you guys have a favorite workshop?
I have been the kids' talent show. That was fabulous. And when I look at those kids, they were on the stage and they were dancing, they were singing, and the most important thing is they stuttered on the stage. It shocked me. It's like now I am in my 30s. But I do not have the courage like those 7-year-olds or 10-year-olds. They stood up on the stage and they stutter and they showed their stutter to the audience. So that gave me a lot of courage to face my own stutter, so I can feel that my 7-year-old in my heart is trying to come out to tell Jassy, they can do that, you can do that too. So I felt super touched by the kids and their stuttering.
It's funny how people of any age can be a role model, right? It doesn't matter. They don't have to be old and wise.
Yes.
I also really enjoyed the workshop that you were on the panel for, Ruben, where we did the breakout session. I felt like there was some conversation that happened in that breakout session that was incredibly difficult, but it was really, it was good. It was a good place to go. I don't know if you want to.
You're talking about the affordance reduction workshop we did?
Yes.
Yeah. What was it that stood out to you in the discussion we had there?
I was really interested in that idea of whether blocking was avoidance. And I don't know if I came away with any clearer idea of whether or not I think blocking it is a form of avoidance, but I liked that direction of thinking. I liked kind of coming, because I hadn't considered that before.
I felt like the best part of what came out of that conversation was really like a super detailed dive of really picking apart what our stuttering is, what we're doing, and even more than that, what our intentions are, because it may or may not be, I think, is what we ultimately got to, and it's really about what are you doing, why are you doing it, and what's your conscious and maybe even what's your unconscious intention about what you're doing, and just diving down super, super deep into like, what is that the essence of when the moment of stuttering starts, and in in some of the other discussions at the research symposium in the past couple days, we were grappling with this as well, about like, does stuttering start before you hear it? What is stuttering? Is it the classical definition of blocks, prolongations, and my vocabulary's not working.
Repetition.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or do we need to really dive completely deeper and look at the anticipation before we hear anything? And there's, yeah, we could just pick that apart for a long, long time, I feel like.
And it almost pragmatically doesn't matter if the block is avoidance, if treating it as avoidance helps you get past it, right? If thinking about, oh, am I tensing up like this because I don't want to let an ugly stutter out? Am I avoiding an ugly stutter? And if thinking like that, regardless if that thought is true, if that helps you vocalize while blocking, then that's helpful, right?
And that was another topic that came up, was using that word ugly stutter.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was too negative a word, and if it could be called something else other than ugly, because if you're wanting to stutter openly, do we want to call a stutter ugly ever?
Maybe a stronger stutter?
There was a word that was brought up as a replacement for ugly. Was it?
I can't remember what was said, but it was... Right, like, these are really things to, like, grapple with, and I think it's powerful that we have a place and we have a circle that we've created where we can talk to each other and we can listen to each other, and that may be the most important thing. Most everywhere else, I probably get told what to do rather than get to discuss it and get listened to. And that's one of the magical things I feel about the workshops we were able to have here. And like you said, Chris, like the absolute truth of whatever we're talking about may not actually be the most important point. Like how we think about it and how we're able to process it and how we're able to explain ourselves to other people. Like, maybe if we could do that with the rest of the stuff in the world that's hard to talk about, we might be doing better.
Yeah. My workshop this morning, I called it Naked Stutter.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason the analogy was supposed to be that it's to stutter openly is to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you're in that moment, you, at least I feel very delicate, and as if I'm showing somebody something they're not supposed to see. Like, I feel naked.
Mm-hmm.
And to get comfortable in that, to be able to nakedly stutter, I mean, that's intimacy, right? That's that's what we share, that's what we share with the one who we love the most. I like naked stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
kind of makes me a little uncomfortable.
That's why you're wearing pants. And Chris is wearing shorts. That's the difference.
And no shoes.
And no shoes.
But I think also those conversations aren't just happening at the workshops, because I went down to the pool party and just listening in on other people's conversations. They're still continuing, even with the young adults, mm-hmm. even with some of the kids. Yeah. So that's...
Yeah. And when we go downstairs, the hallway and the lobby of the hotel is just roaring with conversation, and will be until they kick us out tonight.
Yeah, and I am feeling that when I was in the real world, okay, I think this is unreal world. So when I was in the real world, like I communicate with people like from brain to brain. It feels like that, but here it's like heart to heart. It's like every word I heard here, and every word I say here, it's from my heart. It's like I took off all those pretty masks and just be me, be the stutterer. So it's like every conversation it is a healing process for me.
It was really great. I got on the shuttle yesterday at the airport, and we went around the airport, and the door opened, and Jaw got on the shuttle too. We're like, "Oh, Jaw,
that's Elizabeth!" And I felt that moment of connection, the moment I saw you.
Yes.
It's like our conference starts from the shuttle bus. Yeah. So and I was joking with Elizabeth, like my purpose of this conference is to to come to the conference to get together with my stuttering friend and take a cowboy back to Michigan. So yeah, but mission is not done yet. I still have 2 days.
All right, well, I think on that note, we will all hope that Ja finds her cowboy.
But don't let my boyfriend know.
And we should get back downstairs. So,
thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.